How stupid you exactly have to be to play professional football with Scott Bear. Scott, we're not going to...
Transition.
I know. Pretty smooth pivot there, right? Scott Bear, Raiders insider, CSN California with us. How you doing, Scott?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Oh, good. It's Nate, Katie with you. Dave is incapacitated on Star Wars Day today.
Yeah.
So,
he has a, quote, migraine. Yeah.
I get a migraine, too. But, hey, we've been meaning to get you on. We were talking a lot about Carl Joseph. This is a guy that, you know, he had the injury problems, but it seems like everyone agrees as long as he's healthy, he's physical, he's aggressive, he's a playmaker. My question is there a concern about his size with a guy that's that physical?
I wouldn't say so. There's several examples of safeties that really aren't that tall. And as somebody who's about his height, I stand proud, short and proud, for a guy like that to get drafted in 14 overall. And I don't think that's an issue given how he plays. And, he did suffer an ACL injury. And people like to say, oh, well, because he throws his body around, he's more susceptible to injury. Well, he never missed a game at West Virginia till he tore his ACL, and he tore his ACL in a non-contact drill at practice.
So which is how like it usually ever happens, yeah.
Yes, exactly, where, you know, it kind of builds up and he plants wrong and things like that. Sure, things like that could happen, but everything that I've heard about him is that, yeah, he can be a heat-seeking missile, but no, he doesn't play stupid, and I think that is an important differentiation there, and that's why I think he's going to fit. Now, a lot of people say, well, he's coming in to replace Charles Woodson. Mm-hmm. No, he's not. That's not how the Raiders defense works. Last year, Charles Woodson kind of had to play that single high roaming safety, cover sideline to sideline, be responsible for tons of room, and if he messes up, it's a touchdown. That's Reggie Nelson's job. And Reggie Nelson is a proven leader who's 32 years old. Yeah, he's on the, you know, twilight of his career. But that guy is a ball hawk, and he's going to be the last line of defense. So it's not like the Raiders are going to rely on a rookie for that type of role. Carl Joseph will be able to kind of get used to all of his new duties and just, you know, find the ball and hit the guy with it.
Now, Scott, I know that there was concern. You mentioned Charles Woodson and his retirement there. There was concern with the secondary with his retirement. And then you add Joseph, you sign Sean Smith and Reggie Nelson. Should this really solidify their secondary? Does this remove any of the kind of issues with Woodson's departure?
I think so. They still have a bit of a depth issue, but it isn't nearly as bad as it was last year. And I think it's pretty impressive that when Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio identify a major problem, they go fix it with all of their effort. If you go back to last year, they took a look at the trust and they're like, man, we have no receivers. Like, literally, James Jones is the only option that we have, and we're probably going to cut him. So they go out and they draft Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. They sign Michael Crabtree, and they develop Seth Roberts into somebody that we didn't anticipate him being. So kudos to them on the coaching, free agency, and draft front for changing that position group into something that was an Achilles heel to something that was, you know, a real positive. Now, Jack Del Rio said at the scouting combine, I was there, and he said, we're going to attack this secondary with everything that we have. And he wasn't lying. And I think that was really important, not only to cover all the bases and to kind of take care of losing Charles Woodson there. I do think it was important to really kind of rehash it. If you go back to last year's depth chart at this point in the year, there's nobody in the starting lineup that that was even considered a starter last year. Now, they kind of lucked into David Amerson being good, but they clearly trust him because they didn't draft another cornerback. So, yeah, I mean, Amerson and Smith, and then, of course, you have, you know, Nelson and probably Carl Joseph in the back. You know, what that means for T.J. Carey and T.J. Hayes and things like that, I think it really goes to show that while we thought, you know, those guys could be long-term options, really. They needed upgrades across the board.
Scott Bear, Raiders insider for CSN California with us on KHTK. Scott, I know that, you know, Joseph's going to be ready, but the first two picks for Reggie McKenzie, taking injured guys there, do you feel like that he thought he had kind of done a good enough job with the last couple of drafts that he could take those flyers on those guys?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. When you look at how he did it and really how he's drafted the past couple of years, if Reggie didn't have that track record, really, since, you know, 2014 of drafting really quality players in the third and fourth round, we might be looking at that second round pick, Jahad Ward, as a real red flag. Hey, what are you doing? This guy's a little banged up and has zero experience, and his stats look terrible. But you know, that's not an overwhelming, you know, draft commodity. But here's my response to that, and why I trust Reggie at this point is that if you were to ask me at this time last year how Mario Edwards would have graded out, or what I thought of him, or what scouts thought, guys who have watched game tape most of their lives, I would have said, well, the word on Mario Edwards is that he's fat, overweight, lazy, and never plays to his potential. Now, that was literally the scouting report.
Right.
He was 30 pounds overweight and had like two sacks for Florida State and was a waste of a five-star recruit out of high school. Fast forward 12 months, and let's ignore his neck injury for 1 minute. And the guy was a max effort on the field, made an instant impact, and really kind of was a lean, mean fighting machine by the end of the year that kind of made the Raiders forget about the fact that, oh, man, they just lost Alden Smith and Justin Tuck within a couple weeks of each other. So I think that's a perfect example of let's see how it plays out, and let's trust Reggie when he sees something on tape that Jack Del Rio believes he can convert into something quality at this level.
And maybe one of the best things about Reggie at this point, Scott, is that it seems like people are now really trusting him because of his draft history at this point. And one of the shockers maybe in this draft was that fourth round pickup of Connor Cook, the quarterback out of Michigan State. And you're sitting here and you're looking at Derek Carr, who is a young kind of franchise guy that everyone has all this faith in, and that had a lot of people scratching their heads. But this is not out of the norm for him because of his time in Green Bay to think that it's valuable to have a third quarterback on that roster.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to what the Packers have done, you don't have to look too far to see when they drafted Brett Hundley behind Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre, or Aaron Brooks behind Brett Favre, or, you know, a long list of mid-round picks. Now, when you look at this team in particular, I think it's important to note a couple of different things. Number one, the whole notion of, well, like, we can turn this guy into better draft picks down the road. I think that's a possibility, but a bigger issue is that Matt McGloin, their backup, who is currently the highest paid quarterback on this team, which is funny.
Laughable, really.
Yeah, he is heading towards unrestricted free agency. Now, if you look at what Chase Daniel got in Philadelphia and what a lot of backup quarterbacks are getting around the league, it means it's probably Matt McGloin's last year here. So what he did is he just saved a bunch of money against salary cap by signing Connor Cook, knowing full well that Derek Carr is going to get paid, and Khalil Mack is going to get paid, and Gabe Jackson is going to get, well, you guys catch my drift. So, I think that it was a wise move from that vantage point. It was a wise move from understanding, hey, that look at Dallas last year, right? They lose Tony Romo. Their whole season turns pear-shaped. Now, if I could take a quick aside, and I promise it'll be fast. Imagine if you're Connor Cook, right? And you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm not sure how I made it to the fourth round. That's terrible. The last 2 days have been awful. At least the Dallas Cowboys are going to draft me with pick number 101, and that's a good thing because they have a 36-year-old broken-down quarterback in the twilight of his career, and they need a starter of the future as early as 2017 or 2018. What a great spot for me. Oh, wait, the Raiders traded up. The team with the 25-year-old Pro Bowl quarterback is going to start every snap for the foreseeable future that they're going to pay $20 million to. Oh man, now what am I going to do?
Changes your future a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. And now he has to kind of go that, you know, that Chase Daniel, Brock Osweiler you know, Ryan Mallett route where you kind of mind your P's and Q's, you develop slowly. And I think it's going to be interesting because the only knock on this kid is not his arm.
It's personality,
be,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's whether he can be a good teammate, whether he can keep his swagger in check. And, well, there's nothing more, I wouldn't say ego deflating, but where is your motivation going to come from when it's very possible that you could not see the field for at least 1 year, probably more? How do you stay motivated? How do you work? How do you develop? And I think that that will be the difference between him getting a Brock Osweiler or something like that type of deal 4 years down the road, or him being ready to step into that number two spot right away. This is going to be a big test for Connor Cook, and I think it's still possible for him to have a stronger career. It's just, man, he was one pick, in the catbird seat, you know, and now he's swapping decks.
Scott Barrett with us on KHDK. You know, one of the things they hadn't addressed really till the draft. I thought they needed some more depth behind Latavius Murray. They went and got DeAndre Washington out of Texas Tech later in the draft. I don't know a lot about him. What can you say? Is he going to be ready to, be a backup right away?
You know, those things are always tough to say with running back. Sometimes they develop. Other times you see rookies come in and fit right in. I think the one issue is that when you look back at last year's stats, the number two rusher on your Oakland Raiders was Derek Carr. Not a good thing.
Yeah.
And Latavius Murray had to take 79% of the carries. And when you look at his per carry average, it's about 4.4 for the first quarter, 4 for the second, on down the road. In the fourth quarter, it's 2.2. Mm. So red flag, he's wearing down,
yeah,
right? Because he's getting too many carries. Now, this is one of those kind of tougher guys. And again, I stand short and proud here for another draft pick under 5'9", being able to really do some things. And yeah, he comes from Texas Tech, from a spread offense, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield and do good things in open space. He also ran the ball 200 times last year in between the tackles. So I think he could be a quality option there, where at a spot where the Raiders really don't have one. So I think it's sort of interesting. If I were to go back and look at it, now I went to UCLA, so I do have some bias, but I saw Paul Perkins there. I thought that might be an option. There were a couple of really good running back options available in the fourth round that could have been had they not wanted Connor Cook pretty bad. But, you know, that's all draft speculation and, you know, what you read here and there. So I think this guy has potential to be good. He's a pass protector, which is vital for a rookie. That's how you get on the field and stay there. So he's going to have a strong opportunity to come in there and play. I think this is a shot across the bow for Tywan Jones to be anything more than a special teams player. He's got to show up, and I think he would really need to focus on staying healthy, keeping that ball in his mitts, or, yeah, this could be a real two-man show with Murray and Washington.
Scott Baer joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, Scott, Reggie, you know, now that the draft is said and done and you look back at what Reggie McKenzie decided to go with, in your opinion, where did he hit and where did he potentially miss on this?
You know, I think that getting a safety is important, and I'm not going to play that, you know, was it too high or too low game. Mm-hmm. I think that's all academic. And really, when you get down to it, you either have a player that you like or you don't. Yeah, maybe he was I can't tell you this. He was actively trying to trade down even while he was on the clock to get the same player and get more picks. That didn't work out. He still got his guy. So I think they addressed a couple of needs. Some of these developmental things, I probably wouldn't have drafted a quarterback in the fourth round, and I probably wouldn't have given up a draft pick to get him. So, you know, how it all kind of weighs out, I think, will come in time. The third-round pick, Shalik Calhoun, I think, could be really interesting. He's going to be Alvin Smith while Alvin Smith is dealing with his own issues. So I think that there were some key pickups that addressed immediate needs. The one thing is that Reggie McKenzie is finally allowed to act like himself. And what I mean by that is, first couple years, he had to deconstruct his roster, and every draft, he had to go into that thing and be like, okay, I'm going to cross my fingers for 3 or 4 starters. And that's unrealistic. Yeah. It's probably unfair. And he got that 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Well, now he doesn't have to do that. He can keep his eye on the horizon. And, yeah, he addressed some immediate needs in the 3rd round and the 5th round, obviously at the 1st. But it's not like every single pick has to hit. And that's how you get good, is that you can foreshadow needs. And when you develop talent, then you can kind of keep bringing in young guys. Because as the salary cap works, I'm not doing a good job of keeping my answer short here, but eventually Derek Carr and Khalil Mack are going to take up a huge percentage of their salary cap, right? The only way that you can function with a quarterback and a defensive player taking up that much salary is to have a steady churn of young people. So if you get to a point where you're like, man, Justin Ellis is pretty good, but I need some savings here. Oh, good. I have Jahad Ward to back him up. That's how you sustain success over the long term when you have to play all-pro type premium players. So I think he's doing a good job, and I think he's entering the next phase of his GMship, one where he can, you know, be a scout and be the guy that Ted Thompson raised up in Green Bay.
Scott, we're up against it, but I got to get a quick answer from you on this right before we go. What's the latest with Clive Walford with his ATV accident? How's it going to affect the season?
Yeah, pretty strange. Of course, I started digging around after Fox Sports reported that he had that ATV accident. He has had knee surgery. Everything that I've been told from inside the team is, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Don't worry about it, because they're trying to, you know, put out the fire.
Yeah.
I have heard that it's nothing significantly structural that could be, you know, a real issue, and that he should be back by training camp, which is important considering that he's going to take a huge responsibility. Now, ESPN reported that Michael Rivera was on the trading block entering the draft, and now it makes sense why he wasn't moved. They need to keep their depth there, especially with Clive Walford, for one reason or another, getting hurt in both of his first 2 seasons.
Scott Bear is the Raiders insider. You can read him on csncalifornia.com. Follow him on Twitter, @BearCSN. Scott, great of you to come on today, man. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. It was fun.
Have a good one.
Talk soon.